I'm back in the UK again, and 2 weeks ago I had no idea that I'd be back here so soon. But then again, 2 weeks ago I had no idea about most of where I am right now, and I couldn't be happier. I'm not sure I've ever been in such a good place mentally in my life. On the podcast this week, former ROH champion Jay Lethal talking about hugging girls that you like. It's my unconventional life in Technicolor. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way it's kind of a personal ed. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2016. Sponsored by, you guessed it, no one right now. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2016? Came out of nowhere, got a call, and within a few days my entire life's direction changed in a way I never even imagined. It's interesting how these sort of things happen in life, because even before the phone call I was happier than I'd ever been in my life, in no small part because I'd given up identifying with the past or creating problems in the future. Called mindfulness. I went to candlelight carols at a church last weekend, and I remember sitting there before it began, just thinking, there is no one and nowhere else in the world I would rather be, ever. I'm in the exact right place, doing the exact right thing. Everything good or bad that happened or will happen to me, it's already been written, and I fucking love reading the book. Things are most definitely looking up in the dating world. Dating. It's no different, I think, than my work situation. It's really all attitude. And when I let go and stop telling negative stories about myself, everything started to change. I think because I didn't need it to. I found out that everything I needed to be happy, I already had in that moment. And we all do. I know it's hard to understand, but there's a book called The Power of Now. Get it. Read it. Twice. It's all in there. I promise. Got an absolute ton of messages about the new job after it was announced from people I'd met all along my journey over the last 15 or so years of my life. Literally hundreds upon hundreds of people. So thank you for reminding me what a wonderful life I've really had. And if you sent me a text, by the way, I'm sorry, but I can't reply until I get back to the US because of my international plan. But like I said, it really did illuminate how long and winding this road has really been for me. One particular message that stood out, though, because it also mentioned this podcast, reminded me again of how often we forget the profound ability that we have to influence another life in a positive way. This, to me, is the true joy in life. The message read, "Absolutely adore your podcasts. It's honestly helped me so much through my divorce and depression. I can't thank you enough. You've made me go out there and enjoy myself and realize there's life without the person you adore. You've showed me that being single is actually beautiful." And funny, I can actually think back to a number of other times in my life when I got similar messages because of things I'd done related to wrestling or written about in my blog. Some even going so far as saying something I did or wrote saved their life. So go out into the world today and be kind and smile. You have no idea what a positive impact you can have on the world. Speaking of which, yes, after a long respite of at least partially self-imposed, somewhat celibacy, I think it's time to get back on the horse. I think I can ride it again now, happily, without getting bucked off or hurting the horse. I do love metaphors, don't I? That was a metaphor, in case you thought... Never mind. I just feel a profound sense of peace with my sexuality now. Again, I don't identify with the past or worry about the future. I am not my past experiences. I am the silent observer behind it all. The kind, universal oneness that has always been there. That is love. Unlimited. Self-propagative. I know it sounds like I'm on drugs, right? But I'm not. I'm totally straight and totally sober. Truth, freedom, and a livable wage. What else do you need? Oh yeah, a baby. Better get working on that. First stop, banking my sperm in 2 weeks. Get ready for that story. This week's interview is part one of my interview with Jay Lethal. He started at Ring of Honor when I did and has had a hell of a career. We're always friends, you know, sharing a laugh and a short chat whenever we got together. But recently, we've talked more at depth, and this interview is really the culmination of a lot of those conversations. In fact, it's one of my favourite interviews ever. We recorded it in his hotel room at about 2 in the morning on the ROH tour. Amazing how quickly your life can change. Here it is. It is late on a Saturday evening. We are in England and I am with the former Ring of Honor world champion and potentially the next Ring of Honor world champion, Jay Lethal.
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
Good. I love it here in the UK. It just is so cold. God. I wore boots that I bought 2 years ago. I only wore the boots twice, both times when I came to the UK.
Yeah.
Only I have a bunch of clothes in my closet because I live in Florida. I only touch when I have to travel.
I'm the same. Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I know. I mean, I love coming back. I love seeing my friends and my family. But I was here in August of last year, and it was freezing.
I know.
I don't know how people stay here.
That's what I say about a lot of the states. Like people who live in Pennsylvania? God, I don't get it. Why would you want... That's no way to live, as my friend was saying.
Right, if you've got the choice. But I guess some people feel like they don't have the choice.
That's true, too.
But I, you know, life is what you make it. And that's kind of what this podcast is about, ultimately. Because I'm not anti-monogamy. I'm not anti-traditional parenting. I don't think it's right for me. And I don't think it's right for a lot of people, but I think it's a valid choice in the right situations. Agree or disagree?
I am open-minded. I can see the pros and cons to both. We'll start with that. I'm open-minded.
Well, let's talk about your...
I think people listening already know what that means, I feel like.
Let's talk about your upbringing, because okay. For me, I had a very traditional upbringing, you know, a mum and a dad. Middle class, very loving. I had every reason to pursue a normal lifestyle. And to be perfectly honest, when I grew up, I was 19 years old, right until I was sort of in my early 20s, I wanted to find one girl, fall in love, get married, spend my life with her. And I was never into casual sex. I didn't want to do that at all. I want to be able to say, I may not have had sex with a lot of people in my life, but every one of them meant something. And it was special.
That's shocking that you had... I don't get it. Like, normally it's like, oh, this person grew up without a dad. So it was like, those kind of people are more inclined to not have a stable relationship. Like, you had a very good upbringing of what I consider to be, like, picture perfect. Mom, dad, nice grown-up family. Like, I grew up literally in the Cosby Show. Like, if anybody out there has ever watched the Cosby Show, if you've ever watched the Cosby Show, Nigel... That was my life,
right?
For real. Like, I'm not even exaggerating.
The TV show.
Yeah, the TV show, yeah. The Cosby Show.
It's tough to mention Bill Cosby and not extrapolate that in the wrong direction.
You should interview him, man. I'll try and pull some strings. Let's see if I can make that happen. But literally, yeah, the television show, The Cosby Show, that was my upbringing.
Right.
My mom and dad, who just went out of their way to show each other they loved each other so much. Six kids they had. And, I mean, it was classic. We had family game night. We all went to the movies together. I mean, we could see our mom and dad's love for each other, right, which reflected then their love for us. And it was just like the Cosby Show. Literally, it was picture perfect. Right. I couldn't have asked for anything better.
So now, the next generation of the Cosby kids, like, how are you and your brothers and sisters, have they all pretty much pursued that same sort of traditional lifestyle?
100%.
Yeah?
100%. Because I feel like, because growing up that way, that is what we strive to get, like what our parents had, for us anyway. That's the model. That's the perfect
right
image.
But it's not what you have now.
What I have right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not married.
Right, but is that your end game? Your end game is to do pretty much replicate what you had?
If you don't sway my opinion too much, yes. Yeah, my I believe deep down inside my end game is to have a wife, to have a kid.
I'm not trying.
To have a wife, to have some kids, and just like this perfect, what I consider to be right, this perfect relationship.
Yeah, and that's perfectly okay. I truly believe that there are certain people who are well suited to that.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
I can agree to that.
The question is, are you one of those people? And is the person that you find that you think is one of those people, are they as well?
Well, I am one of those people. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. And I've never thought of this until I started talking to you about it. I believe that there's so many cases of this person cheating on this person, this person cheating on this person. All those people who have cheated, they can't all be horrible people.
No, they're not.
They can't all have this flaw in them. There's got to be a reason for it, which makes me think, like I said, I have an open mind. Makes me think about what you're saying and you could have a point. Maybe we were made for something different than this normal, what everybody considers to be perfect. Man, it really makes me think.
Have you ever cheated on anybody?
Never. No, I've never cheated on anybody.
Have you ever been in a sexual relationship with somebody and had sexual interaction with somebody else?
I'd say yeah.
You'll be seeing one person and you may see someone else.
That doesn't work. You mean like...
At the same time.
Oh, see, no, I've never done that.
No?
No, I've never done
so
that.
So once you enter physically and metaphorically into a girl's life sexually, all other girls are off limits.
Correct. And here's why I feel like I'm selfish. I feel like I'm a tiny bit of a jealous person. Not like, I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
part of me is like, if we had sex, why are you talking to this person?
But one time?
Oh, no. Now, that's one time is not enough.
Wait a second, then. Let's add
because
this.
I don't, after that one time, I don't know where we are.
No,
yet.
Absolutely. Of course, you don't. And how possibly could you?
Right, right.
This could be a girl in a different country.
Right.
Right.
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay.
So in that case,
yeah,
there can be a situation where you've had sex with a girl and then you will have sex with a different girl. And potentially, if you go back to the same place again, have sex with that original girl.
Gotcha. That can happen, but it hasn't happened to me where I had sex with this girl, then I had sex with this girl, but then went back to the girl.
Oh, really?
I haven't.
Why luckily?
I don't know why I just said luckily, to be honest. I don't know why I said that.
What's lucky about it? It's kind of unlucky, isn't it? I mean, if you...
Depends.
Some of the girls you've slept with, I don't know.
Definitely depends.
If I'm going to have sex with a girl, it's because I like her. Not just the way she looks, but her as a person.
Right.
And therefore, if I do it once and it's not abhorrent, then I'd want to do it again.
Right.
But, as you say, if she lives in a different country or for whatever reason, logistically, we can't be together. Or, because deep down, I feel like it doesn't have to be an exclusive relationship to be deep or meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't I be able to sleep with somebody else and then sleep with her again? As long as I'm open about it and I'm conscionable about it. That doesn't mean that I have to meet her
right
and go, oh, by the way, if we sleep together, I'm going to sleep with other people and then try and sleep with you again. That's absurd.
Right. Okay. So I'm not saying that that's wrong.
Okay.
It just hasn't happened to me.
Right.
I mean, I would think deep down inside, I'd love to be the lover boy, Ric Flair, this girl one night, this girl another night, maybe back to this girl another night. And then, I think deep down inside, a lot of guys would love to do that.
Right.
But then again, it comes down to me being selfish again. Like, I just don't think I would want the girl to be doing that.
Because it's a jealousy thing.
I think for me, yes. Mm-hmm. I think for me, yes.
Right. But let me ask you this then.
Please.
Lots of other aspects of human beings, when they say they're jealous, we say, well, that's immature.
Right.
In the Bible, it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if you're jealous of your neighbor's wife because she's hot, that's wrong. Right?
Well, you'd be jealous of him. You'd be jealous of him yes. because his girl is
correct.
Hot.
Okay.
Yeah. That
but
would
if,
be wrong.
If yes. your next door neighbor has a nicer car, and you're jealous of that, you go, okay, it's kind of shitty. You know, you should get over it. It's just a material thing.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
If, for whatever reason, you're in a wrestling company and somebody else gets to be world champion instead of you,
right.
you may feel a little jealous.
Of course,
And that's valid, but we say you need to be a bigger person. You need to be an evolved human being. But why, when it comes to sexual jealousy, do we go, not only is that valid, but actually, it's encouraged. Actually, if you don't feel jealous sexually of your partner, you don't really love them. You don't really care about them. That's what we're told. But why?
I think because jealousy shows that you do care a lot. I don't think it's like, oh, if you're not jealous and you don't care. But I just think jealousy is the easiest way to show like that you really do care. It's like, I can't believe I'm saying that, though. It's like sounds mm-hmm. so weird to say that out loud. I've never said that before. It doesn't mean that if I were to have sex with this girl, which means I like her, and then next week I see that she's with, I don't know, Tommy Boy,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a little jealous.
Yeah.
Because I had sex with her for a reason. You know, I
liked her. Yeah.
Right. And now I guess it didn't really mean as much to her that as it did to me.
Sure. Right. Only because of your worldview. And in your worldview, if you like someone and you sleep with them, that makes you less likely to sleep with somebody else.
Correct.
However, the viewpoint that I have, and a lot of people that I've met, at least in the polyamorous communities in Los Angeles, that's not the case. They can love someone dearly and not have that affect their desire to have sex with somebody else. I mean, it doesn't affect your desire, does it? Really? If you're honest about it. If you're honest about it. You may not do it, but your desire is still there.
Okay. I'll say the desire is still there because we're human beings. Okay, but I don't act on them.
Right. So is that's the big difference, is it?
Okay, so the big difference is the fact that I don't act on it, but some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I had sex with this girl, and then next week she's having sex with Tommy, it couldn't possibly mean as much to her than it did to me. No? I had sex with this girl, which means I like her. I don't know, maybe this could go somewhere. But next week she's having sex with Tommy Boy?
Mm-hmm.
So that means I was a little more invested than she was, no? Or was she equally as invested as me as your...
It's possible, but again, it comes down to your worldview. And I think the danger of that worldview is it's limiting. Because there is, I'm sure, a good number of girls out there who would be fantastic partners for you. But you know how you'll know that? You won't know it from sleeping with them one time. You'll know it after a certain amount of time. And this may sound superficial, but it's really not, by sleeping with lots of different girls. Because that's the truth. And after, listen, let's say, okay, you want a car, yeah, right? Now, when you buy this car, Jay,
mm-hmm.
you can't trade it in. This car you have to drive for the rest of your life. Even when it starts breaking down, you've got to put money into it, et cetera, because that's the way it is. That's just the way we're designed. We have to have a car for the rest of our life.
Yeah, but we don't get a trial period with that car?
Uh-uh. No.
Well, that's what dating is like, a trial period.
Well, right, I suppose so. But you've got to drive lots of different cars. And if, once you drive that car, you say, right, the owner of this car shop isn't going to let anybody else drive this car because if they let somebody else drive this car, it's not so special. I'm not going to buy this car anymore because somebody else has driven that car. Right?
Right, but in your driving scenario,
uh-huh.
when I go to the car lot, do I take this car for a test drive, bring it back in, park it, jump in the next car, take it for a test drive, bring it back in, park it, jump in the next car, take it for a test drive? No, I think...
You drive it until you decide whether you want to keep it or not? That seems problematic.
Well, how do you... How else do you know that this is the person to spend the rest of your life with?
Time. Time, experience. And here's the truth. The truth is you don't know. The truth is people will change. And I think if you talk to your parents, they were honest, they would tell you that they both changed. But they were willing to change with each other. They were willing to say that our union, our family is more important than our changing desires. Because I guarantee you, whether they even admit it themselves, there were probably moments in their life where they had doubts. Your dad probably was attracted to other women.
Don't you talk about my dad.
Come on. And you got to remember, they lived in a different time before Facebook. And look at you. You're traveling the world. You're meeting girls.
I can totally remember, like, flipping through the TV. Like, there's a cute girl. And, like, I hear a sound from my dad. Like, oh,
what's that?
Man, she looks good. Uh-huh. But, I mean, that's not, like, how do I explain that?
Well, I mean, the question is, how big of a desire is that? How much does he feel that not acting on his desires impinges his happiness and fulfillment versus the wonder and the beauty of raising kids and a family with the woman that he loves? And that's clearly, it was obviously way more important and way more fulfilling to raise the happy family. And that's perfectly okay, without a doubt.
So what for you, I have a question for you, what is the ideal situation?
For me, the ideal situation is to find a girl who is beautiful and funny and interesting and independent, who has a family living nearby her, who sees the world in the same way that I do.
A family like a mother and maybe a father and some brothers and sisters.
Right, kind of family. An extended family, absolutely. And sees the world the way that I do.
Which is?
That I don't believe monogamy should be an expectation. It should be a choice. And that parenting is probably better done outside of a traditional romantic sexual relationship.
Okay. Let's just talk about that parenting thing for a second. Because I like to think that I turned out pretty well.
I think you did.
I could not imagine I would have turned out like this. If my parents, first of all, you're saying weren't married.
Correct.
Okay.
On paper, yes.
And second, they were allowed to have other partners?
Yes.
How can you, in my head, it's hard for me to... you should have Truth Martini.
I'm trying to get him out of jail.
In my head, totally different from him. It's hard to love this one woman and have sex with another woman. I feel like I love this woman so much, I don't want to have sex with anybody else. That's how strong my love is for this person. I think it shows that how much you love them if you're willing to have sex with other people.
What you're saying is perfectly valid, and it's a perfectly natural human emotion to be monogamous. When you meet someone that you go, for me, this is a great catch. I will make a wonderful parenting partnership with this woman. We connect. Yes. The problem, scientifically, is that that emotion, fueled by oxytocin, generally only lasts for 3 to 5 years. So you won't feel that way necessarily for the rest of your life. And when that changes, that's when the problem comes. Because in 3 to 5 years, if you felt that way, certainly at a certain period of your life, you probably had kids. So then you've had kids, then that changes. I've talked to a number of girls who, listen, they don't fall in love with somebody else. Their husband wasn't a horrible person who cheated on them or beat them up or didn't take care of the kids. They just lost all sexual desire for their husband, who in every other way was a wonderful human being. So what happens at that point? What do you do? Do you just say, like a lot of people, well, we've got kids now, and for the betterment of the kids, we'll stay together? Or do you say, well, fuck, do I want to not have sex for the rest of my life? And this is why a lot of people have affairs. A lot of guys have affairs because their wives don't want to have sex with them anymore. And I'm not saying it's the wife's fault. It's just an evolutionary thing, and you can make an argument that if you're a woman and you've had kids, your body chemistry will change naturally so that you now are invested in raising the kids that you have, not making any more fucking kids. But the husband, his MO is to make as many kids as possible. That's really the big issue. Now, I'm not saying that's insurmountable, because people have surmounted it. People have, for whatever reason, said, hey, sex, not like it used to be. Let's figure this out.
Right, because you don't just get to hit the reset button.
It's very hard, exactly, you know. But there's things you can do. There's movies or whatever else. And certainly if you get married later in life, then your libido drops anyway. And maybe some people are okay with not having sex. I don't know.
Now, why doesn't that automatically mean that they just picked the wrong people?
Well, because the argument that I'm trying to make is there's no such thing as the wrong people, in the same way as there's no such thing as the right people. There are people who you are well suited to and people you're terribly suited to, but it's all a sliding scale.
I would love to talk to these people that you talk to.
Listen to my podcast. They're all on here.
So there's a woman you said you met or talked to, married how long?
She was married, I think, for 7 years.
7 years, and then somehow her feelings were just weren't as strong as they were in the beginning.
Disappeared.
But he, it was nothing, not because like...
Nope. Lovely guy, wonderful guy. Took care of the kids, supported her, would do anything for her. Just stopped. And it happens time and time again. What would you do?
If I was the woman or if
you were the guy in that situation.
I don't know if I was the woman or if I was the guy. why didn't I just automatically put myself in the guy role?
Because I'm trying to be open-minded. I don't know.
Trying to be open-minded here. That's why. If I was the guy, now does she confront me about it? Does she say, hey?
Well, this is the thing. What she did actually, she's written a book about it, is that she knew she had three options. Number one, she just said, well, I've got to accept this. We're married now. I'm a good Catholic girl. We have a kid. Therefore, I should continue to have sex with him so that he doesn't cheat on me, even though I don't want to and I feel sick when I do. That doesn't seem like a good option.
That hurts.
Right, exactly. Number two, we don't have sex at all and we stay together, and then that's not a very workable situation. Number three, there's actually four options. So number three is that I say to him, this isn't working, I'm not attracted to you anymore, and I'd like to have sex with somebody else because I want to have sex again, I have a strong desire to have sex. Or number four, you don't have that discussion because you know it's never going to end well. He's never going to say, okay, let's stay married and you fuck who you want and have an affair. And that was what she decided to do.
Which one did she decide?
Number four. And when I hear that, my heart aches. And
mine too,
breaks.
But I think our hearts are aching for two different reasons.
Why? Why do you think that?
Your heart is aching because she's trapped in this thing that people find to be ideal, but it's not ideal in your situation. And my heart is aching to be that guy. I do feel bad for her.
It's bad for everyone involved, yeah.
Love was gone, but...
One of my potential parenting partners, Rachel, she's talked openly about this. When she had her first kid with her parenting partner, and they had it traditionally, because this was 24 years ago, before there was IVF or anything else like this, but they were platonic friends, but they actually had physical sex to have this kid. And beforehand, she was all gung-ho about it. I mean, she loved him, and she respected the fuck out of him. He was smart, he was intelligent, he was supportive, he was wonderful, but just weren't romantic partners in that way. After she had the kid, she said the smell of him being near her made her physically sick. Nothing else had changed, except the fact that she'd had a kid. Her hormones changed. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen every time. I don't even know what percentage of times that happened. And I guarantee you, you could give me examples of girls where that didn't happen. And they loved their husband even more. And they wanted to fuck his brains out even more.
Yeah, my parents. I just feel like when I watch my dad come home and I see the love that he had for my mom, and we would all see it, like their love together and then their love for us.
Yeah,
their love together was so strong, which made them love us even more.
Yeah,
without that, that is perfect to me. That is ideal to
me. Absolutely, and that's a very fair point. But let me ask you this. The rest of the world, who didn't have that, who don't have that now, single parents or parents who are co-parenting because of a divorce, who, you know, because they're adult enough to co-parent or seeing other people.
Right.
Are all these people fucked up? Are all these people never going to be able to have the lifestyle that you have, never turn out as well as you had?
Well, maybe they just picked the wrong partner.
I mean, what I'm saying
is, I almost feel bad about saying that.
Other options to your parents, are they potentially valid or not? Let me ask you this. Do you feel like you need a mother and a father?
I feel like that would be ideal. I would, yeah. I feel like it can be done with just one, but in a perfect scenario, you need both.
Well, let me ask you this, and be honest.
Yeah, I'm being as honest as I can.
Right.
Because there's tons of single parents out there who are doing
their
thing.
Let's talk about gay parents.
Okay.
Two guys raising a kid. Do you feel like that is less ideal than a guy and a woman?
Less ideal, yes. But I feel like, and I've never even thought about it before, but just applying everything that I feel, you know, made me what I am today.
Mm-hmm.
If they have that same love for each other and their kids are seeing it and their love for each other is so strong that it makes them love their kids even more, and
yep,
then I think that would be fine.
Absolutely. Okay, then. So what about if it's a guy and a girl?
Yeah.
But they're not having sex?
See, here's
they
the
love
thing.
Each other the exact same way. Let me ask you, how do you know your parents were having sex?
Well, I heard them one time.
Let's say you hadn't heard them.
Okay, but I only heard them one time, though. So,
right.
Like,
well, you definitely know they did it at least six times.
At least. Right. At least six, right?
Yeah.
Or at least that's seven plus the one time I heard them.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if you hadn't heard them that one time, would there be any doubt in your mind that they had sex?
Not a single doubt in
exactly.
my mind.
Exactly.
I knew they would have had sex.
I could say this. If you saw me with a lot of the girls that I'm platonic friends with,
uh-huh,
you didn't know me, you didn't know how weird I was. If you just saw us together, you would put money on the fact that we were having sex.
Are you guys kissing? Are you holding hands?
We're holding hands. We're hugging. I'm rubbing their feet. We cuddle, sleep in the same bed. You would go, of course you're fucking.
You do that?
Yes. I have a number of what I call fwobs. You know, on Friends, they had friends with benefits.
Yeah.
I have friends without benefits. Girls who, yes, for whatever reason, I'm not sexually attracted to them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. I think they're fantastic. But whether it's for whatever reason we've sort of got into the friend zone with each other, or I'm not their type, or they're not my type, or maybe they used to date one of my friends, or all these different possible eventualities, for whatever reason, we're now at the stage of a platonic friendship and have strong desires for physical affection. As human beings, we have strong desires for physical affection that most of the time never get met. When we're single and we're lonely and we're sad, it's not about me putting my penis in a vagina. It's about, like, cuddling a girl and feeling close and feeling loved and watching a movie together and talking about our most intimate secrets. I don't have to be fucking a girl to do that. In actual fact, sometimes it's better not to be.
Okay, so you don't love them?
Yes, I love them.
Okay.
See, for me,
and, you guys,
and this is difficult for people to understand, and I can understand why they would think that, but for me, I don't see the love that you feel for your girlfriend or boyfriend to be any different than the love that you feel for a platonic friend or the love that you feel for a parent. Now, I can say that they are of different strengths, absolutely. You can say that I love this person more than this person because of our connection, because of the things we've shared.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that it's a different type of love, no. I think there are some people that you love that you go, yeah, I'd like to see them naked and rub their genitals.
Right.
And there are some people that you go, I don't want to see this person.
So think of you, a couple of these friends.
Uh-huh.
Think of one of them.
Yes.
You guys hold hands.
Yes.
You said you cuddle in bed.
Yes.
Like you rub her feet.
Uh-huh.
If this person, while cuddling, said, let's have sex. Well, maybe they didn't even say that. Just started making out with you.
Yeah.
Would it not lead to sex? Would you go, I don't think we should do this. What's going on?
It's hard to say. In this situation that you were talking about, she would never do that. I know for a fact, because we'd actually started out potentially dating and we'd made out, and she then got all weird and said that because I shaved my arms, I was too prickly and my lips were too big and I wasn't a good kisser.
She would have hated me. See, I feel like, although sex, I guess, isn't required, I feel like it is a bonder.
Yes.
Like without that, it just helped bond my parents together even more. It's hard to see it exist in my head without
I get
that
it.
Sex happening.
I get it, because we're so used to that oxytocin being the thing that bonds and forms our most intimate relationships. But the problem with it is it's not a strong glue. And there's so much evidence of that, right? So much evidence of people who get into relationships because they just have this fucking strong oxytocin from having great sex. A lot of times people say the best sex you have is not with the people that you should be in relationships with. You know, I just talked to someone tonight, one of the guys on the show, that just had to split up with his girlfriend for that exact reason. Best sex he's ever had, but just couldn't be with her. And they didn't have kids together or anything like that.
So why don't you do this friends thing first to start out for a long time, this cuddling and no sex, and just have the sex after that? I feel, man, wow. I didn't know you did that. That's first of all.
Yeah.
That's with multiple people?
Yeah.
So where is this leading to? Like,
it is what it is. There's no. It doesn't need
to
leave.
There's no end game. It's just this.
That
is
the end game. It's being present. This is what mindfulness is all about.
Wow.
What other relationships do you get into outside of sexual relationships that you go, well, where is this leading? Very few.
And these people are cuddling and canoodling and feet rubbing with other people as well.
Not as many, not really, because it's a very unusual thing, because a lot of these girls, or more than one of these girls, their friends have told them, Nigel either wants to fuck you or he's gay. My friends tell me the same thing. My friend says, if you turn down sex with a girl who's attractive, you're gay. Of course, I don't believe that. But it'll make, you know, it'll explain a lot of the blowjobs, but...
So think of one of these people that you cuddle with.
Okay.
You don't mind that they're tomorrow cuddling and rubbing with somebody else? You don't mind that?
Why would I care? Like, I love them. I want them to be happy. I don't own them. I think most people can understand this when it comes to cuddling, because it's just like hugging, isn't it?
I think you're a cuckold. You know that
I do know what a cuckold is. And
would
I'm
that
not.
Be an ideal
I don't
situation?
Get turned
would
on by my partner fucking someone else.
You kind of do, because like if they're happy, then that's making you happy.
Yes, that's called...
Okay, but some of these partners that you're holding hands and cuddling and stuff...
My fobs.
Right. Let's just hypothetically say sex was included in each one of these relationships that you have here.
Yeah.
Is that okay to you?
My journey that I'm on now is trying to find out where I am on that scale.
Okay.
Because in theory, because I've had this discussion, I can't say his name because, you know, I don't know whether he's okay with talking publicly this, but I talked to a guy when I was married and he was in a serious relationship as well. And we both said that if our respective girlfriends or wives met somebody else and truly liked them and felt that connection and wanted to have a sexual relationship with that person, we would be okay with it.
While still in the marriage?
Yes.
That
was in theory.
Okay.
Had it ever happened? I don't know. Now, there has been a girl that I've been in a non-exclusive sexual relationship with that I haven't seen in, maybe 8 or 9 months. And when I found out that she was in a sexual relationship with somebody else, and we were perfectly open about it, I felt that pang of jealousy. No doubt about it.
Okay.
You know, it's a perfectly natural human emotion.
Okay.
But I let it breathe and I went, yeah, you know, this is no different than, you know, knowing that one of my friends made loads of money wrestling for WWE. You know, it's a valid emotion, but if I let that eat me up, if I let that affect the way that I live my life, then I'm limiting myself.
Okay, so I personally am in the search for someone who feels the same way I do, I guess, which, and my yep. views are what I saw with my parents had. That's the absolutely. Idea. I love this person so much. I want to share every part of not only myself, but every part of life, all the finer things and anything. I want to share it with just that one person. Good. And I want them to feel the same way about me.
100%. And to be perfectly honest, you've got a much better chance of finding someone who feels that way than me finding someone who feels the way that I do.
Right. And I think it's also because of that view that I have. Like, how can you say that you love this person?
I mean, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You feel love for other people that's non-sexual?
Oh, yeah. I have tons of friends. Right. Like, I love my friends.
Absolutely. Now, if they love somebody else that same way, does that limit the love that they feel for you?
No, not at all.
Then why, when it comes to sexual love, is that different?
I don't want to marry any of my friends.
Okay.
Like, it's different. Like, those are just my friends that I have love for. I have love for them, which means if I see them get hurt, then I hurt, and I want to help them yep. as much as I can because I have love for them. But
right.
I'm thinking about my best friend right now, you mm-hmm. know, and like, sure, I love him to death, but it's a different type of love that I would have with somebody that I want to have kids with and raise a family with. It's not the
How
same.
How so?
Well, for starters, I wouldn't be jealous if my best friend had a different or multiple best friends.
Right.
In my eyes, I only have one best friend, and that's him. Sanjay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be jealous if Sanjay had three best friends.
Now, why not? Ask yourself, why not? What is it that's different? Why are you not afraid that because he had another best friend, that he's not going to be your best friend anymore?
That's a tough one to answer. And it's not just because we're not fucking. You know?
Because you are.
That's a tough one to answer. That's a good question, though. If I'm with a girl, and I love her so much, I want to marry this girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to have another boyfriend. This girl gets all of me. You know, I give her every part of my soul, every part of me
mm-hmm.
I am giving to this person. So I want them to have that same feeling towards me, right. That strong feeling.
Hey,
it's different than a friendship, I feel like.
I'm not trying to dissuade you.
Don't think
that I am. And what you're talking about is a beautiful thing, and I've felt it, and I've experienced it on a number of occasions, and I don't think it's any way invalid. The problem is, longevity-wise, you could make a very good argument that it's arguably unfeasible to make it work for the rest of your life. Now, the question is this, and this is what people tell me. Well, if that's the case, you'll never do anything. You know, if you're always going to operate out of fear, well, what if it doesn't work out? Well, what if it doesn't work out? Then you're never going to do anything in your life. That's what everybody tells me. But in every other aspect of your life that doesn't work out and you see, okay, if you drive above the speed limit, when you've been drinking, you're probably going to die in a car wreck. Does that mean you shouldn't drink and drive? Yeah, it means you shouldn't drink and drive. Yeah, but I love drinking and driving, you know? You don't operate out of fear. I love drinking and driving. And yes, some people die, but some people don't. So just go for it. Now, of course, I'm being facetious, right. And then you're putting other people's lives at risk.
Right.
But you see the analogy here. Being a human being, for you to repeat the same things and expect a different outcome is the definition of insanity.
But I've seen it work.
Well, that was part one. Can you see why I love the guy? Next week, part two. Some real gems in that, too. I met a guy who got so drunk, he was heading south on I-75. He woke up going north on I-75 with a bag of Taco Bell in his fucking lap. He had no idea how he got there. I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. 1 week closer to 6 feet under. Thanks for listening and being part of the journey. Drop me a line if you think you or someone you know would be a good match for me as a parenting partner here in Los Angeles. Before you go though, you know the deal. Please rate, write a review, and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Show some love. I'll be back next week, but if you want more before, then you can read my weekly blog at nigelwrestling.com/blog, where you can also buy merchandise, book me, or just send me a nice message. Until then, wherever you are, whoever you're with, I hope you find kindness and love. Be happy. Hello.